friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-author, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I am doing great on this Monday. So, yeah, got an interesting show lined up today, don't we?
Yeah, well, you know, we adhere to the old 80-20 rule, the Pareto rule, that we talk about the positive stuff about 80% of the time, leaving about 20% of the time to cover negative possibilities about the future. Usually we got, you know, we got a pretty rosy view of how things are going to be, but all of the accelerating technology, all of the new capabilities that we talk about on the show have a potential downside. There is...
Well, I would say it's even more than a potential, Phil. I would say that every technology has its downside, but we do it anyway. Yes. Because it has more of an upside than a downside, right?
So exactly, yeah.
We take our two steps forward and our one step back, and then we stick, but that means we keep moving forward, you know?
That's right. I guess when I say capabilities have a potential downside, it's because it's all in how people decide to use them, right?
That's right.
And they will... Some of them will take them in a bad direction. So tonight's show is Risky Business, and we're just going to talk about kind of different but sort of related risks and how technology is enhancing them and enabling them. And, it's kind of a grab bag of bad things that we're up against. But this first one, this caught my attention just because of the scale of it. The story is a Lithuanian fisher tricked two big U.S. tech companies into wiring him $100 million. And if you read the story, this is taken from a court brief or court some description of a court case. The fisher has been caught, so that's good. Yeah. But we don't know who the companies that were scammed for such a large amount of money are. You know, $100 million, that is a significant amount of money to be taken in by an email scam, isn't it?
Well, and the fact that it's a tech company, I mean, what hope do the rest of us have if they're going to be so stupid, right? I mean,
right.
And the thing is, they probably weren't stupid. This just a very, it was a good scam in a way. There's also a warning in this to hackers, right? I mean, the old phrase, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, applies to this guy. The $100 million, was such a big amount of money that he stole, that his chances of getting away with it probably diminished. You know, when you get too far above $1 million, you've really put a target on yourself. So,
True. Well, you know what? I was kind of looking at it from the other side. I was thinking about this. Well, if fishers are going after, it is suggested in the story that these companies may have been Apple or someone like Apple or Google or someone like Google might have been the companies that were taken advantage of there. If these scammers, these thieves are going after people like them, maybe people like us are at less risk now, right? Because I
doubt that's the case at all. I had an experience this last week because the first time I'd ever used Western Union to send anybody money, right?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know quite how to do it. And so, you know, I first called the destination. I said, no, you got to go to a location near you. And then the person who needs the money will come to us. Okay.
Right.
Can't do it over the phone. Okay.
Point. Yeah.
It's point to point. So I go into a point that's near me and, you know, and there's a kiosk and I sit down and do what I need to do there. But, I mean, throughout the process, they're constantly warning, do you really know the person that you're sending this to? Apparently, with, you know, I mean, and, you know, before you hit this, I mean, it's, you know, this warning number four. This is, this makes it, you can't do anything about it after you click here. So, apparently, I mean, Western Union is the preferred method by which people are scammed, or you know, that it just happens so much that it's, you know, kind of built into their system to warn people, you know, about this. You know, never send money to people you don't know, that kind of thing. So anyway, I guess there's other ways of going about getting people, separating people from their money. You know, credit cards are just, you know, identity theft, lots of things. But Western Union obviously has been used, because
yeah, well,
there's lots of warnings built in now.
It seems like even in the old days of the con artists, right, the grifters, the people who would confront someone on the street or get to know someone in the real world, that somehow Western
yeah.
Union was often involved in,
yeah.
in people separating other people from their money. So I guess they've, you know, they've entered the 21st century in a big way, you know, this, which is, I guess, essentially really what these are confidence games of some kind or other, these phishing scams, right? They,
right.
You know, they, one way or another, they gain your confidence, and you think, well, okay, well, here we go. I've got every reason to send money to this individual or this entity, and then your money's gone, right? That's what happens. And they take so many different forms. And one thing that's interesting is a body of knowledge builds up around this that sometimes isn't even true or helpful. There was this thing going around a few weeks ago about how if you pick up a call and somebody says, "Can you hear me?" hang up immediately, because they're going to record you saying yes, and then that's going to be used to, I don't know, activate, you know, your bank account or something like that. That one sounded so strange to me, and I kept seeing it everywhere. You know, I went to Snopes, and there was a pretty good analysis of this. And it's like, well, you know, there's probably is some potential harm they can do with recording your voice, but there's no known way that, you know, somebody can just go in and take over your account just by getting a snatch of your voice saying yes. So it's like there's all this risk out here, but there's also this kind of, I don't know, almost urban legend hysteria that develops around these things. So
yeah,
it's like you have to be careful, but you also have to be careful that you're not, you know, driving yourself crazy or wearing yourself to death. I guess there's an interesting line we have to walk around these things, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I would say also with texting, you know, if you are, there's the risk with texting is that you are not texting with a person who, that you think you are. That's
yeah.
a possibility, because you're not hearing their voice. You know, occasionally if I'm trading, you know, the good thing about texting is you've got a written record, you know, which I like to have sometimes when I'm, you know, doing some business. But, you know, other times, you know, I'll in the middle of, you know, exchanging texts, say, I will often make a phone call just to confirm that I'm talking with the person that, if it's important business, talking with the person that I think I am. Are texting with the person I think I am. So, yeah, you just have to be careful, I guess, as, you know, our technology is allows us to do things so much more efficiently, including scam each other. And
right.
We just have to be careful. Be careful
yeah.
out there.
And we've built up a good knowledge, generally. You know, if you
yeah.
get something from, you know, in broken English from someone in a foreign country, you know, often
right,
Nigeria.
Right.
It used to traditionally was Nigeria, but it can be just about anywhere. You know, with some weird backstory and some offer, you know, you don't even look at those, right? Obviously, that's
no.
That's crazy.
If it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. You know,
but the other thing we've learned is any email I get that references an account I have that says
yeah.
I need to log into it, I just trash those. Because
right.
if I need to log into an account, I will, right? I'll go to the browser and I will log. I will use my login, right? I will never follow a link that I receive in some email to get into something
right.
like that. And that, you know, that's
and the IRS never sends you an email. IRS never phone calls you. You know,
yeah.
You will never get a phone call or receive an email from the IRS. You will receive a paper letter. From the, by way of the U.S. mail,
right.
if the IRS is contacting you, this happens. This is, you know, happened enough in my area that you know, I've had people come to my office and say, "Look, I've got this phone call, so, you know, it's the IRS saying that they need me to do such and such. Do you handle that kind of work? No, I don't, but you are being scammed, sir.
Yeah.
The phone, you know, the IRS does not reach out to people that way. That is not, you know, so don't allow yourself to be taken in.
Take it from me. They send letters. What they do is they send you a letter. That's
right.
How the IRS gets a hold of you.
But
the first time I got one of those calls.
And they said I would get in trouble if I didn't call back. Don't call back.
Whatever you do.
It's
yeah.
not them. You know, if you're concerned enough, you know, go speak with the local office, and, you know, sit down with somebody that's IRS. But it's not them, I promise you.
And what's interesting about that is just the appearance of authority, the appearance of legitimacy, which probably swings it back to this Lithuanian story, can be so powerful. You know, you get an email and it looks like it's from Google and they say, oh, you need to log in and change your email password. I mean, there was a time that people would have gotten that and go, oh, okay, here, let me just – Google is my friend and, you know, they're telling me I need to do – right? PayPal wants me to update my bank account information. Let me just follow this link and go do that. Well, you get a call and it's the IRS and they say you're in trouble. You can see where that would have had an immediate attention-getting impact on people. To the point, though – I mean, where it's once you're convinced, because you hear about these stories where the IRS, quote unquote, was telling people that they needed to go to Target and buy a bunch of gift cards and send them to them to pay off their debt. And it's just like, does that really sound like, you know, the way the IRS would
would do that? No, but, once you're convinced, they take you little baby steps along the way until you're completely, taken in, and then they can tell you whatever at that point. So
I guess it goes back to the X Files, right? Trust no one. That's about.
I guess so. Well, trust but verify, maybe. That's
okay.
Well,
that's nicer.
That's the old Ronald Reagan quote.
Yeah.
There, you know.
That makes more sense. All right, well, let's move on. We've got other risks that we want to look at. Phishing has gone nowhere. I guess that's, you know, it looks like the brightest days for the phishing scammers lie ahead as they move into, what is this, 10 figures deals here, although they are getting caught, so that's good news. New app lets you find strangers on Facebook just by taking their picture. So you go out in the world, you see a pretty face, take a photo on your smartphone, and then you can take that photo, upload it onto this site, and it will find that individual on Facebook. I'm gonna question asked here. Is this really an invasion of privacy? Is this a creepy thing? Is there anything wrong with this, really? What's the big deal?
You asked two different questions there. Is it an invasion of privacy? Is it a creepy thing? If you're out in public, traditionally and under the law, you have a limited to no expectation of privacy when you're out in public. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't do some things in public that you would do in private, of course, you know. I mean, you just don't.
Well, speak for yourself,
for Phil's, shaving in the mall,
That's right, yeah.
but you don't have the same expectation of privacy, but I'll bet you, Phil, that when you're walking around, you're not expecting strangers to immediately be able to know who you are, though.
Right.
So, so traditionally you had no expectation of privacy in public, but I think you did. I think you did.
Right.
I think people have expectations of privacy, maybe not protected under the law, but you have this expectation that, hey, I can walk through without being identified by complete strangers.
Right. It's an expectation of anonymity. I don't even know if it's the same thing as privacy exactly. It's just of, there's too many people in the world for anyone, basically, for people to generally know who I am. Yeah, if I'm walking around in a public place. And now that, that's gone, right? I mean, it's going fast.
Well, and so they can look you up. I think at some point these social media sites will have to begin to respond to this in ways that they won't want to respond to it in ways. In other words, basically to make it impossible for people to do things like this, because if they don't, then I think lots of people will simply abandon these sites.
Yeah.
You know, because they want their expectation of anonymity, right? And yes, it's creepy. It's 100% creepy. There's no, you know, it is. This tool is the stalker's friend. It really is.
And the other thing that had occurred to me was that if you take this one in conjunction with the first story about phishing, it seems like this kind of technology enables a much more, I don't know, personalized approach to trying to con people, to trying to scam people, because you have this way into, you can pick marks in the real world and then start connecting with them in the electronic world. It creates a connection that I don't even know how. I can't think of the scenario, but it just seems potentially as empowering to people who want to do bad things. And stalking is a really good example. But
I don't know a real legitimate, I don't know, you know, most tools have, you know, there's upsides and there's downsides. I don't know a proper reason that I need to know the identity of everybody around me.
Right.
You know, I don't need to know that. Why would I need to know that if I'm walking through a mall? Do I really need to know every single person around me? And I realize that you have to proactively use it. But I could see this being turned into something that you attach it to Google Glass or something or some tool like that, and literally it does it for everybody around you. It pings everybody and knows what everybody is. I don't know why I would need to know that, but. That's what we're talking about here. What if remember the story? I don't know if this tool ever actually came about, but it was that it was Yelp for people. Remember that creepy thing?
Oh yeah.
What if you combine these two things? I mean, where you can figure out who the perfect stranger is, and then consult something like that to find out as much as you can about them by that, or even if you want to, if it's somebody that cuts you off in traffic or something, you put in a negative review or something,
Yeah, exactly. The fact that I can identify this person on the street, now I have the power to basically destroy their reputation, right? Or harass them in a completely new way, make life difficult for them in a completely new way. Yeah, I think the more you look at it, the potential for abuse is.
It's much higher than anything legitimate.
It's not even potential for abuse, as you said. It's hard to imagine a legitimate use for this. I guess if you happen to be taking a photo while something bad is happening, you can identify witnesses to something bad that occurred, right? I mean, there could be those kinds of things. You met somebody, you took their picture, you forgot to get their name, and you can look it up that way. I mean, so there are these like fringe legitimate cases, but they sound like fringe, right? I mean, they sound like.
And here's another fringe legitimate case, a situation where everybody's opt-in. It's speed dating, but actually just a night at the bar kind of thing, nothing formal. And so everybody who walks in this bar is opting in to everybody else there at that bar, so that everybody knows who everybody is. And, it speeds up the, breaks the ice a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Usually you don't.
Although you would think for something like that, there would be a registration and that would be managed by its own walled garden app or something rather than.
Exactly. This. So that no one outside that room is part of the deal. And, occasionally something like that would happen, but even there, I think you'd be opening yourself up to potential problems. Right. But at least then you've opted in and you're part of the, you've invited it. Right. So, I just can't imagine, because you had the nerve to be a person in the 21st century, you've opted in. I don't think so.
No.
This sort of stuff has to be shut down, actually, I would say.
I think so. Okay. And then finally, we're going to look at a completely different kind of risk here. The story is called What's the Harm? The Body Count of Pseudoscience. And this is the risk that I think we're all increasingly up against. Just of having bad knowledge in our heads, right? Of believing things that aren't true to our potential detriment. The examples used here are concerning science, pseudoscience, and really sad examples about, populations in the world that have completely erroneous ideas about AIDS, or the really dangerous ideas that people have about genetically modified foods and, what kinds of quote-unquote risks are associated with those. And it really does add up to a substantial body count. I mean, the headline is not an exaggeration in this case, sadly. When we talk about the fact that there is a, misperception about vaccines, that there's just a lot of misinformation about the benefits of being vaccinated from disease, and the stats here are that 3 million people die every year from vaccine-preventable diseases, and that the number could actually be going up as more vaccines are developed, but this strong resistance that people have to being vaccinated continues to increase. Or they talk about the fact that as many as 8 million kids have died from vitamin A deficiency in a world where we now have the ability to easily grow rice that can make up for that deficiency. We got kids going blind, we got kids dying all over the world when they could be eating golden rice, and it would be preventing blindness and death.
Right.
That's pretty staggering. And you see all the anti-GMO stuff. I got a lot of friends on Facebook who post this anti-GMO stuff, and I don't, it's just one of those things I just skip. Sometimes I ignore the post. It's not like I'm going to get in an argument or a debate every time I see it, but it's very prominent.
Oh,
There's
yeah. And it's prominent in the communities that we often, appeal to in the show. I mean,
yeah.
even some of the even some of the groups that I'm a member of in Facebook, because I like these kind of topics that we talk about. There is a substantial portion of these communities, and so hey, if you're in this audience, where I'm talking to you guys,
Yeah.
that buy into this anti-vaccination stuff and anti-GMO stuff. It's and you guys are the very people that will tell us that science has settled on climate change. And hey, I'm with you on that. I accept anthropomorphic climate change. But guys, read up on the fact on what's going on with vaccination and genetically mo and the good that genetically modified foods could do, including not just kids going blind in Asia, but also kids starving in Africa. There are genetically modified foods that could help take care of that, that countries in Africa will not accept while their people are starving. So
Right.
ignorance has a huge body count.
And we've seen and talked about stories in the past where there have been circumstances where we know that governments, and it seems like this was in Africa too, have been highly opposed to bringing in malaria vaccines and other vaccines. It just boggles the mind, doesn't it? That you've got a population that is, in some cases, desperate for help, very much needs the help, and they can't get the help, not because of any real roadblock to receiving it, but just because of what amounts to superstitious dread,
Right.
an irrational fear of a technology that, for all we know, based on the best knowledge we have, is beneficial, right? It can only do good. I mean, it prime or can mostly do good, can do enough good that it's worth whatever tiny risks might be involved. And I've not heard of any real risks around golden rice, if there
Yeah.
are any at all. There are probably some outlier cases where even a malaria vaccine has some downsides for some people, but
Well,
it's
genetically modified foods just scares the crap out of a lot of people. But here's the thing we need to understand. There's not a thing that we eat that hasn't been genetically modified by humans for tens of thousands of years, and by way of just, husbandry. I mean, just
Right.
breeding plants to, I mean, the wheat that we eat is nothing like anything that ever grew wild.
Right.
We have bred this stuff to produce enough to make it worth our while. It was barely worth our while to our Stone Age predecessors who began, just gathering it in the wild, and we've made it our own by way of breeding. Well, when you breed something, you're basically doing a scattershot, willy-nilly approach to changing genetics in that thing. And sometimes you
Right.
may be changing some things for the good, and sometimes for the bad. You don't know. You're just trial and error there. But with genetically modified, with the tools that allow us to genetically modify something, we're changing one little thing. You know, tweaking something in one way or another, maybe so that you don't have to use as much pesticide, which, hey, that's a good thing. Or in the case of golden rice, to tweak it in some way to add vitamin A, which has never been in rice before, to rice, so that people don't go blind, particularly children, right? So that's that's what we're talking about, and we know exactly what we're doing. We're not just hoping for the best as we did when we were just breeding it.
I think the most troubling part about these stories is in this case. In the stories we're looking at here, the scammer is the government for a lot of these people. You know, it's the government saying, we're not going to accept any, we will not accept this aid in the form of genetically modified food. Or the story of, in South Africa where they just sort of denied that AIDS existed for years, right? I mean, ridiculous position that they took as a government. And even in our country, you know, there's the ongoing debate about climate change, but if you don't want to get into that one, you look at how erroneous the information that our government has given us around nutrition over the years, and how slow they have been to get caught up on that. So it's not just that we as individuals can have bad ideas; it's that authorities seem to latch onto the really dangerous misconceptions at times and make them official, and that's where some real damage can occur.
How long were we told that sugar was fine, but fat was the thing that was making us fat, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that since the early 70s, pretty
and
much all my life.
I can't remember what it was, but somebody was posting something from a couple weeks ago. It was a big government related study, and it was still, they were coming down hard on salt. They were coming down hard on saturated fat. And it was like, you know, this is stuff that there's been subsequent research, and we actually know the facts now. And you guys need to get caught up, right? And so far they haven't.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, you know, there's so much momentum behind the old thinking that it's taking forever for these you know, our institutions to get caught up. You know, but there's. And there's institutional knowledge. Once you train a doctor and you put them out in the field, you know, they are going to, you know, have some continuing education along the way, but not a lot, right? Not at the same level they had when they were in medical school. So you basically, you know, that person is a minted doctor from then on, and what they know is what they know. And for the next 40 years, they're going to be operating on that knowledge. And so there's some of that going on.
I'm just apologizing to a lot of doctors right now.
I'm not saying anything bad about doctors. I'm saying that.
Lawyers maybe, okay, but you know, some doctors are going to call in and say, "Hey,
that's not
how we operate." No, it's true that you get some templates, and that's how you work. It applies across the board, and in this case, it's just really unfortunate when new knowledge comes along, and it could make a huge difference. So, we're out of time, but what's the bottom line here? Don't trust your email, don't trust your government, and don't show your face in public. And I think you should be fine, right?
Well, you see that you've got to do all those things, and so what you got to do is do those things, but carefully, and be aware of your surroundings, be aware of the information you're receiving, and try to trust but verify, right? So
trust but verify. The risks are real, so be careful out there. And we'll be back on Wednesday with a new show. It's going to be the other side of the Pareto analysis for the rest of the week for those who found this to be a bit of a Debbie Downer. We've got fun topics coming up on our archive shows and for the rest of the week. Great talking with you, Stephen. Great being with you all, and we will be back with a brand new show on Wednesday. And until next time, live to see it.